Luke chapter 2, very obvious. When Pastor asked me to do this message, I said, that's one of the big messages, and he said, yep. And so that just added a little more nervousness to me, and then so then he said, you're going to bomb, don't worry about it. So now I'm looking good, I'm feeling good. So it's a pleasure to be here, it's a pleasure to see everybody, especially Bob in that beautiful sweater. I can't pass that on. Let's read chapter 2 of Luke. And it came to pass in those days, and I'm going to read really fast because we got a lot to cover, but that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished so that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping the watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for lo, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of angels, with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Somebody want to do a closing prayer? All right. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this day. And we just ask that you would take me out of this and help me not to say something I shouldn't. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 8 in this story, when I first heard about this, I was talking to my parents, which they were going to come today, but with it being so cold, we told them not to. But my mom said, how about the message on search? So that's where this all came from. So if you don't like it, write to her. I'll give you the address later of complaining about it. But we're going to look at some of the things that were searched for in our Bible. And so the definition for search is to investigate or examine thoroughly in an effort to find or verify something. So in verse 8, we see the shepherds, and they're searching. They're going to be searching for the baby Jesus. In verse 12, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. So they're looking for something. The Bible tells us that's where they found it. The search was for the baby, for the manger. Verse 13 was heavenly hosts. And suddenly there was an angel to a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, they were searching for the Christ child. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Obviously it says pondering, it doesn't say searching. But as you're a mother, we've got some babies here lately, you're looking at that kid, you're looking at when they're making weird faces or weird noises or whatever, you're wondering what they're thinking or what they're... Mary did the same thing with the baby Jesus. She was pondering in her heart who he was going to be, who he was going to save people from.
Amen.
Verse 25, and we didn't read that far, but we'll catch up there. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simon had been searching for that his whole life, waiting to see the child. That was told to him, that was what he was looking for. He wasn't complaining that his life was almost over. He was ecstatic that he had finally found what he was looking for. Verse 44, same chapter. They saw more people searching, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Now this is, they're following the laws. They're taking him back, taking Jesus back. They're heading back home, and we're going to see they lose the baby. Not the baby, the growing boy. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him, and among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So this is, any parent could understand this feeling. You have your kids, they go hide in the clothing rack, and you're searching for them. You're trying to find them. And that's what they're doing here. They're trying to find their child. Where did this child go? Verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. They were in sorrow, thinking they lost their child. It was what they were seeking for, trying to find. 51, verse 51b, the last part there. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So this is the same Mary that pondered things before. Now she kept these things in her heart. She was, and most of you parents will understand this, especially mothers. Everything your kid does, you notice it. You think about it. You try to figure out what they're thinking half the time. You don't understand everything that they're doing. Continuing with searching, go to Matthew 1:20. We're going to come back to Luke for the majority of it, but we'll go to Matthew 1:20. As soon as I get there, we'll get there. But while he thought on these things, and this is Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. He was seeking knowledge in that aspect. Okay, he was looking for what he should do, and the Lord sent. Angel said, fear not, take this woman. You're supposed to do that. That's what God wants you to do. And he follows through with that. Matthew 2, 1 through 3. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The wise men were seeking, searching, following the star. They were searching what they were to find. Herod in this, see Herod, he comes on and he's searching for this child, okay? He had a whole other reason why he's searching for the child than what the rest of the story is going along with. But he had just the same amount of interest that these people did. He was searching for that child. He wanted it. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also, which we also understand is a lie. He was searching him so he could take him out, but he was searching. He was seeking. Amen. He was looking for that child. Another definition, or the word seek and search to me go hand in hand. My wife said that they're not the same, so I put two different definitions down. Definition for seek is, in the bananas, sought, to search for. So, again, search takes you back to the definition of search, to investigate or examine thoroughly in an effort to find or verify something. To search for, to respect, to aim, or to try. Now, the difference I see between seek and search is, search, you're just kind of looking for something. I'm searching for that $20 that my wife said she was going to give back to me. You're kind of searching it, but you don't ever expect to get it back. Seek is looking for something. I have to find that. And that, the second part of that says to request, to aim, or to try. It means you're putting something actual effect into it. I still think they go hand in hand. If you're searching, you're trying to figure something out, you're working on something. Seeking is figuring it out. I got to try to find this. Go back to Luke. We'll go to 4. And we're just going to go down through some of these that are, I'm not hitting every one of them, obviously, but we're going to hit a few of things that are seeking and searching Jesus. And the first one is Luke 4:3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So this whole time, the devil has been basically taunting Jesus. Now, obviously, he's not a baby anymore. He's grown up. But Satan's seeking him. Satan wants to destroy him, just like Herod did. He's diligently seeking Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Jesus heals a man of leprosy. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately leprosy departed from him. This man wasn't, he was seeking Christ. He knew that there was a reason that everybody wanted to find him, that he was healing people, that he was helping people. So this man is seeking Christ. He's trying to find that Jesus that was born in the manger. Go to chapter 7 in Luke, verses 3 and 4. And this is a Roman soldier. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. The fame was getting out about Jesus. People were seeking him. They were searching him for many issues. But this was a Roman soldier. This wasn't just a Jew. This was other people had heard about it. Other people knew that this man could heal them, could save them. Chapter 8, this will be our last one I'm actually turning to. 8:43. And this is the woman with the issue of blood. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately issue of blood was stanched. These people knew something was different about this man. They knew something was different, that he could help them. And they were diligently seeking and searching, trying to find him, trying to get his help. Some others in the Bible, we would think of Zacchaeus. I mean, he's the wee little man, but he's climbing up in a tree. He's seeking and searching what Jesus is. Disciples, they all searched and figured out what he was or what was special about him. Mary and Martha. We have lame and sick. We have the people with leprosy. People who are blind. We had the rich young man that had counsel straight from Jesus Christ and didn't accept it.
Amen.
We have religious leaders. They were seeking him. They were searching how what he knew, what they didn't know. They were searching to kill him. Poor widow, Peter and John, criminal on the cross. That's just a handful of them in our Bible that's been recorded for us, but there was many people searching him and seeking for him. What are we searching or seeking for today? Money, pleasure. We don't want to be a peculiar person. There's many people that are searching the wrong things in this world that think that's all that matters. The church is packed today, and I appreciate all the Asquiths coming to see me preach. That was wonderful. But we were talking about this in the car on the way here. When I was young, businesses were closed completely on Christmas Day. Pretty much now they're closed for 3-4 hours, but they still want their money. They still know that there's going to be people out there searching for what they have, not searching what's in the house of God.
Come on.
We've come a long ways in a short amount of years.
Yes,
sir. Luke 4:28 says, and this is back, Jesus was, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. But they were, he had went into the synagogue and he had laid out a bunch of scripture for them. And then after he closed the books, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. This is the same Jesus that a few chapters earlier, wise men were coming, shepherds were coming, people wanted to search out who he was. And these are people filled with wrath because he's speaking the truth to them. They didn't want to hear that truth. Now, if we do go to Luke 24, and this was the ultimate reason why Jesus came as a baby. It didn't come because he wanted to go to the Gap store or the toy store. He didn't want to come to see what the earth kids had. He came for a specific reason. The problem is, a lot of us leave him in the cradle. A lot of us, it's easier to not feel accountable to a baby. If you're a parent, and I'm not saying it's domination, but you don't expect the kid to question you, or you don't, it's you're ruling over that child. A lot of earth, a lot of our world today, that's their thought process. If I keep him as a child, I'm not accountable to Jesus Christ. I'm accountable for to me, for me. Again, he didn't stay a baby. He grew up just like everybody did. And then he started, people didn't like what he had to say. Now this is after he's been killed, put on the cross, put in the tomb. Chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them, shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now I underlined seek in there because that's what we're talking about. These people are now, these disciples are now saying, where is he? What's going on? They're seeking him. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. How many of you is it going to take? You're going to have to get to a point to remember his words. Are you going to keep blowing his words off? Are you going to keep blowing off the word of God? And then someday you're going to remember his words. Mm-hmm. Might be too late.
Come on, brother.
Are you going to keep Jesus as a baby or Lord? Are you going to think you have it all taken care of? Is it pride? What is it that's keeping you from believing this word of God? What is it that's keeping you from searching? Go to Acts 17:11 with me. Acts 17, these were more notable than those in Thessalonica in that day, received words with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those, things were so. Where are we? We've received the words with all readiness of mind. If we're in the house of God, we're saying we're here, we're ready to receive the words of God. And then are we searching the scriptures daily? Are you taking it personal and searching the words that God's put in our hands, or is it just Sunday and Wednesday? Is it something you're diligently seeking or trying to search for? Or are you just, somebody else has got control of that, we're not going to worry about it. 1 Corinthians 2. Just another couple of searches here. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Key phrase there. God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you're not searching, you can't receive. If you're not searching, if you're not seeking, God can't expose it to you.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Don't someday say, well, I just didn't understand it. And were you searching? Were you seeking who God is, who he wants to be in your life? The answers are all right here. We've flipped in a few pages here, and we found lots of answers already. What are you searching? Are you even searching? With that saying, go to Galatians 5. I should have told you to warm your fingers up because we had to do some. And I'm saying this as a challenge, not as a slap, but maybe this is the most you've turned in your Bible in months. Just saying. Galatians 5, starting at 19. And again, the key, the phrase is, what are you searching for? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if that's where your focus is that that's what you're searching for, it tells you right in the last part of that, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's who you're proud to be, if that's who you're seeking and searching to be, is somebody that just doesn't care and you want to live for the world, you want to be part of the world, you don't want to be separate, you don't want to be that peculiar person, that's your reward. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God. That's where you're headed. Conveniently, the Lord starts in verse 22 and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, but let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying of one another. He's telling you in those short little scriptures, this is who you are, this is who you could be. Are you? Which one are you seeking? Which one are you searching to be? What kind of representation do you want to be? Do you want to be a representation of God, or do you want to be a representation of the world? But Neil, there's so many great things in the world. Yeah, I've been there.
Come on.
You might think they're great. God's got so much more to offer you.
Amen.
So much more.
Amen.
If you're here today searching or seeking, that's awesome. You're actually in the right place.
Right.
If you're actually truly searching and seeking the things of God, it's awesome. That's what church is supposed to be about. That's what we're supposed to be here to do. If you're here to feel good, make someone happy. I'll probably upset some people here too, but Christmas and Easter are the two most attended church services in the year. Why is that?
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Is that to make our parents feel good?
Uh-oh.
Is that to make ourselves feel good? Well, if I show up in church and everybody will tell me how great I am, is it because you say the right words? Is it because you do the right actions? Why are you here today?
That's right.
It wasn't to hear me stumble and slobber and stabber. You should be here to hear the word of God. You should be here because you want to be here. Not just to hear you're a good person. It's to be shown where you falter and where you can be better.
That's right.
If you think, if you're here today and you think just because I come on Easter and Christmas and a handful tossed in between, I'm good. Let's turn to Revelation 3 and see what he says about that. Revelation 3, we're going to start in verse 14. And in my Bible, it's under lukewarm church. Anything lukewarm doesn't sound good, correct? Okay. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness of the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. My Bible has red letter editions. That's Jesus speaking.
That's right.
As Jesus was in the manger, that's the Jesus who died on the cross, that's the Jesus that rose again. He's telling you there's going to come a point where you can't fake it anymore. You can't say the right things. You can't show up at Christmas and Easter. You've got to live for God with everything, or you're lukewarm. He'll spew you out of his mouth. It's not a good place to be. Genesis 1, and we're not going to turn there, but Genesis 1, Jesus created everything that came to worship him at his birth. Do you ever think of that and realize that? He created the very earth he would be put on. He created the manger. He created the human beings. He created the shepherds. He created the wood that made the everything that he created. The stars came to worship him. Everything he created came to worship his birth. That's, to me, kind of one of those moments.
Amen.
He was so powerful to create all that, but then lowered himself to a body of a child.
Yes, sir.
It's good.
The stars worshipped him, the wise men, the shepherds, the hay, the wood, the sun, galaxies, Mary, Joseph, animals, us. Are we here today to worship him? That's why we should be here, not just to just be in the church, but to worship him. What are you searching or seeking for today, December 25th, 2022? Is it a present under the tree? Is it a happy-go-lucky feeling? It's definitely, you might be here for warmth because it's so cold today. Are you going to live for Christ or play the game? This is our last one, I promise. Psalms 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Most people already know where I'm going. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you think you have God fooled by saying the right words and doing enough to please people? The way everlasting, there's no S on the word way. Only way to get to everlasting is a relationship with the babe that became man, that died and rose again.
Amen.
The real Christmas miracle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for everything you've done. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your birth. We thank you that you came. You cared enough about us. And I just pray that you would help us to fall more in love with you each day.
Amen. To show you we thank you for showing us who we are. Help us to worship you this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Help us.